You know, a lot of times in this world, we like to think that power or money can save us. You know, if we just have enough resources or enough high standing in our community, if we just play our cards right, we can control things. But when I'm tempted to think that way, I try to remind myself that no amount of money can prevent you from getting bed bugs. That's right, folks. According to Newsweek, in July of last year, on an Air India flight, a wealthy family discovered that their 15-hour nonstop flight was going to involve less napping and more scratching. But I bet they never would have thought that something like this would happen to them, because these were powerful people, okay? Their business class seats cost $4,000 each. But I guess all the money in the world doesn't make you immune. You can be powerful, you can be upper class, but at the end of the day, you are just a human, just like the rest of us. And once upon a time, there was a powerful man named Naaman, whose story we read about in 2 Kings. And the first time we meet him, we get the sense that this is a guy who is invincible, unstoppable, wealthy, and weighty. In one Bible verse alone, here are all the ways he's described. Commander in the army of the king, a great man in high favor with victory. He's mighty. He's a warrior. All in one verse. This is a man with a plan. Yet there's something going on beneath that strong facade. Even though that Bible verse goes on and on about how great he is, the writer still has one more thing to tell us about him before the verse is over. It says, the man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. He had a bug. There was this thing about him that he couldn't control. In spite of all his power, all his military honors, all the high praise of Naaman comes to a crashing halt when we realize that beneath his armor, he suffered greatly, not just from any disease, a disease that could shorten your fingers, lead to nerve damage, maybe eventually amputation or disability, and it would get you shunned from your community. This mighty warrior would have had access to the best healthcare money can buy, but that didn't matter. This was something he could not fix. And I wonder if it was really hard for Naaman to admit that there was a vulnerability in him. I wonder if he tried to hide the lesions that were starting to appear. Maybe he put makeup on his face, or he wore long sleeves to cover his arms. Anything so he could preserve that image of himself as General Naaman, the mighty warrior in the army of the king. We do this too. It's hard for any of us to admit to having a need that we can't fix on our own, a need for someone's help. If you've ever been to the Harris Teeter in Whispering Pines, you'll notice they have these special parking lot signs like reserved veteran parking or reserved customer with child. And the picture on this second one makes me think that I'm not supposed to use it quite yet, even though I'm very much with child. But if you've paid attention to our church's parking lot, you'll notice we don't specify any of that. Instead, we use a sign that just says, reserved, anyone in need. And we have six spots like this, and these six spots are fairly close to the church. You can park there no matter what your need is. We don't ask. That's between you and God. So I wonder if you've ever parked there, or maybe you've secretly wanted to park there but wouldn't let yourself. It can be hard to identify ourselves as anyone in need. So the combat survivor who gets his meds from the VA doesn't park in the veteran spot, and the dad who's trying to run an errand with three kids in tow doesn't park in the customer with child spot. And maybe when you came to church this morning, maybe you thought briefly about parking in one of our reserved spots, but instead you drove out further, because anyone in need surely doesn't apply to me. Until one day when you have to admit that you need help. One day you can't hide the thing that's been eating away at you. So Naaman's wife had a servant girl who'd been taken captive, and she thought she might know a way that he could get healed of his illness. "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria," she said, "he would cure him of his leprosy." And I guess Naaman was finally desperate enough to take this advice. Even though it came from a prisoner, he must have been desperate enough to finally open himself to getting help, to let God work through the prophet and bring him the healing he needed. But even then, he tries to take back control. It's so funny and so sad. But when Naaman finally admits he needs help, he still tries to do things on his terms. He's used to being in charge. So in order to get the healing, he's supposed to go see the prophet in Samaria. But what does he do? He goes and sees the king instead. And he's supposed to show up there with a posture of receiving. But what does he do? He shows up with a bunch of gifts to give the king, silver and gold and garments. God forbid he let himself show up empty-handed and looking needy. And even when he finally makes it to the house of Elisha the prophet, he still can't let go of his strong man image. He shows up with chariots and horses. And when a messenger comes out to greet him instead of Elisha himself, he throws a hissy fit. And then when Elisha's prescription for him turns out to be just too simple, he gets so mad, he storms away in a rage. After coming all that way, he is willing to walk away from his healing. But I think I know why he would do that. It's because it's too hard. It's too hard to open ourselves fully, to surrender completely, to risk being stripped down to our humblest self. It's too hard, even if it is for our own healing. It's too hard to let God cleanse us however God wants to cleanse us. And we too would rather just walk away. But thankfully, this is where the servants of Naaman come in. We've been in a sermon series we're calling Little People of the Bible, where we take a closer look at those characters that are often overlooked, and we see how God worked through them, through these little people. Naaman may have been used to playing the hero, but I think that his servants are the real heroes of this story. Because at this critical moment, when their master storms away, they don't leave him alone. They go after him and say, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it?" I mean, they know what he's capable of. They've seen his feats of bravery on the dangerous battlefield, but his servants want to call him to a deeper act of bravery. Surrendering to God takes the ultimate courage. And so they say, "If the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" The servants could see what Naaman could not. They knew that though he was a great man in high favor, he was still just a man in need of God's touch. And that's true for all of us. Beneath all our titles, we're all just leprous and in need of washing, in need of God. No matter what name we can claim, commander, warrior, executive, strong single parent, keeping it together, young, wealthy, well-off, good citizen, teacher of the year, whatever it is. Somehow none of that matters in the waters of the Jordan. Beneath it all, we're just people in need of healing. I'll confess that when I first started working at Pinehurst UMC, I was a little intimidated by all of you. I wasn't sure what I could offer a group of people where you have everyone from CIA agents to psychiatrists to retired generals. We even have a Sunday school teacher who got a PhD in molecular biology. On my early commutes from Durham to Pinehurst, I would overnight in the home of church members who just so happened to be an Air Force colonel and a registered nurse. And all of this after finishing up a date with a guy who would say casually, "Yeah, I've jumped out of airplanes 85 times. I'm like, what was I doing here? So early in my time with you, I sat down and had coffee with a pastor mentor, and I shared with him all of these things. And he said, "I know just what you mean. When I started ministry," he said, "I was placed in a rural Appalachian town with a lot of down-to-earth people. But then I got moved to a large downtown urban church where my congregation had masters and PhDs, lawyers, and people on city council. And it was tough. But," he said, "I'll tell you what my mentor told me. Just remember, everybody comes one heart to a person, and there are stories in everybody's heart. Beneath all our accolades, beneath any attempt at sophistication, we've got one heart beating in this body. And we've all got stories. We all get sick. We all have relationships that are broken. We all have a need for healing. So I'm grateful that this church family has shown me what it looks like to open up, to open to each other and open to God." Naaman finally let his guard down and let the people of Israel show him what their God could do. He dipped in the waters of the Jordan River 7 times, and when he came out, he'd been made new. Whatever it is that we are holding back today, whatever it is that we would like to keep hidden under our title or our suit of armor, God knows. God knows we just have one heart. One heart, and that heart is a tender, breakable thing. But God also knows that leaves us soft enough to receive a healing. Maybe today is the day we're being invited to do the hardest, simplest thing of all. Wash and be clean. Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, thank you for being such a great God of healing. You who would break through Naaman's stubbornness, you who would speak through servants, we ask you to break through whatever protective layers we've put around our heart and speak now. Lord, where we need to let go of our armor, would you help us release these clenched fists of ours? Where we need to listen to a person that we see as an unlikely prophet, God, open our ears. And where we need to lay it all down by the River Jordan and dip ourselves in your healing waters, Lord, as many times as it takes, would you help us wash and be clean? God, let today be a day when we are made new. Let today be a day when we leave this place different. Lord, you see what's really in our hearts. So cleanse us with your Holy Spirit. Cleanse us with your healing power until our hearts are restored and our bodies are made new and our minds are focused only on you. Amen.